Welcome back to Anchoring Your Dreams with Chanel A. Watson. This is our second episode and a very special one because we are going to begin our journey on writing your vision and walking in your purpose. This is going to be a multi-part installment, and we are going to begin with identifying our goals, recognizing our center, and choosing our focus for this year. Now, in order to do this all effectively and be as efficient as possible, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Princess R. Williams, who will assist with adding great insight on this journey.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to start off by saying that I'm so excited to be walking in this journey with you, and I'm glad that I'm able to contribute to the experience. Thanks, Chanel.
Of course, anytime.
So let's just dive right into it. First things first, we need to start off by setting the tone for this journey. We need to be open and willing to explore our strengths and weaknesses so that we may push past our comfort zones. Throughout the course of this journey, there may be some things that make you say, ouch, but in a good way. It's all important to the process.
Now that the tone has been set, the first part to writing our vision and walking in our purpose is going to be how to identify our goals. There are five key questions that we must ask ourselves when we're trying to identify our goals. The first question is, what do you want to accomplish in your life? What makes you happy, feel successful, satisfied, etc.? What makes you want to get up every morning? What do you spend the most time thinking about? What do you not want to go through another year not doing?
Feel free to pause now so that you can take a couple of minutes to write down your goals. Okay, now that we've taken a moment to write down our goals, let's discuss how to prepare to accomplish your goals. Number one, always have them around you.
It's always important to have your goals around you because it's a reminder as to what you want to accomplish. You want to make sure that they're in areas that you frequent a lot, whether it's your car, whether you're looking at it on the phone, whether you're looking at it in your mirror, any place that you always are looking, you want to make sure that your goals are there.
Number two, tell other people your goals so that they can hold you accountable.
Now, it's very important to have people hold you accountable. Not only should you hold yourself accountable, for one, but you want to have other people that are reminding you daily of what your goals are. These people should be people or a person that you trust to know that they're going to steer you in the right direction.
And number three, setting a time frame for your short-term and long-term goals.
Now, this is something that's hard sometimes because we always want to set goals and accomplish them extremely fast. But in order to really be effective in how we get our goals accomplished, we have to make sure that we set them as short and long term so that we're not getting discouraged if we don't accomplish them fast enough, so that way we're able to really be effective.
For example, one of my short term goals in 2016 is to be able to complete a 5K run. For me, the 5K was a reasonable and attainable goal that would help further my long-term goal, which is to complete a 10K.
The thing about goals is that they may change, and sometimes this happens based on the influence of our center.
Stephen Covey identifies in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People 10 common centers we should recognize. These 10 centers help to determine where you stand in your life and what or who is at the center of your life. 1. Family-centered. If you're family-centered, your feelings of self-worth are based on your family reputation or acceptance from your family, your decision-making is based on what is good for your family, and what family members want. You interpret all of your life in terms of your family. 2. Money-centered. If you're money-centered, your personal worth is determined by your net worth. You are vulnerable to anything that threatens your economic security. You see life as money-making, you're restricted to what you can accomplish with your money, and have a limited vision. 3. Work-centered. If you're work-centered, you tend to define yourself by your occupational role. You make your decisions based on the needs and expectations of your work, and you tend to be limited to your work role. 4. Possession-centered. Possession-centered people have security based on your reputation, your social status, or the tangible things you possess. You make your decisions on what will protect, increase, or better display your possessions. 5. Spouse-centered. Those who are spouse-centered have feelings of security based on how your spouse treats you. Your decision-making comes from your own needs and wants and from those of your spouse. Your life perspective surrounds things that may positively influence your spouse or your relationship. Your power to act is limited by weakness in your spouse and in yourself. 6. Pleasure-centered. If you're pleasure-centered, your security is short-lived and dependent on your environment. You make decisions on what will give you the most pleasure, and you see the world in terms of what's in it for you. 7. Friend-centered. If you're friend-centered, you're highly dependent on the opinions of others. Your decision-making is based on what others think. You see the world through a social lens, and you are limited by your social comfort zone. 8. Enemy-centered. If you're enemy-centered, you seek validation from like-minded people. You may make decisions based on what will thwart your enemy. You're defensive, overreactive, and often paranoid. The little power you have comes from anger, envy, resentment, and overall negative energy.
The reason why you have little power in this center is because all your power is given to other people.
9. Church-centered. If you're church-centered, your security is based on church activity and the esteem in which you are held by those in authority or influence in the church. Perceived power comes from your position in church. You are guided by how others will evaluate your actions in the context of church teachings and expectations. 10. Self-centered. If you're self-centered, your security constantly is changing and shifting. Your judgment is based on if it feels good, what I want, and what's in it for me. You view the world on how decisions, events, or circumstances affect you. Your ability to act is limited to your own resources.
Take a moment to really identify which center truly influences your life. And keep in mind that there may be more than one that resonates with you and who you are and where you are in your life. When I first took the time to really see what my center was, I found out that my center was money-centered and work-centered. Now, both of these go hand in hand, and the reason why they identify with me personally is because I would always work, and always want to attain money to accomplish my goals, to pay rent, or whatever the case is. Princess, when you were going through the book as well, what did you feel your center was?
Reading that portion of the book, I would say that the family-centered aspect stood out to me the most. That predominantly, I would say I'm a family-centered person. Any of my affirmations, any of the guilt I feel, any of the decisions I make are primarily based on what I think works best for me and my family.
Awesome. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let's consider that none of these 10 centers should be our focus, because individually they are all in balance. Mr. Covey presented an additional center that should be our goal, and this center is the principal center. When we become principal centered, our lives are focused on correct principles, which create a solid foundation for development of security, guidance, wisdom, and power, which are 4 life support factors, and essentially, they mean balance. When you become a principle-centered person, your principles don't change, and knowing where to go and how to get there will lead you into walking boldly into your purpose.
Absolutely, Chanel. Now, for this last portion, we're going to delve into choosing your focus. A good way of determining your focus is to consider your idea and definition of success.
There is no right or wrong answer to this question. It really depends truly on what you feel success is to you.
After taking a moment to review your idea or definition of success, I want you to choose a word that will encompass your focus for the year 2016. For 2016, the focus word I chose is commitment. Commitment is defined as a willingness to give your time and energy to something that you believe in, or promise, or firm decision to do something. So this year, my commitment is to myself. I want to work hard at achieving the goals that I have for myself and not let other obstacles or circumstances get in my way from achieving those goals.
I love it. And I chose three words to actually be my focus for 2016. The first word is discipline. To bring a state of order and obedience to my training and control. And for me, discipline is being consistent, obedient, and having enough self-control to still do whatever needs to be done after the feeling of wanting to do it wears off. My next word was perspective. A particular attitude or way regarding something, which can be a point of view. To me, perspective is not only the way we see something, but really it's also the way we look beyond our point of view to understand someone else's. And the third word that I chose was resilience. It's the ability to roll with the punches. In other words, resilience isn't about toughing it out or being stoic. In fact, being able to reach out to others for support is a key component of being resilient. Now let's do a quick recap. We've identified our goals. We recognized our center and the ideal center to focus on. And we chose our focus word for 2016.
Congratulations in taking the first steps to writing the vision and walking in your purpose. This concludes the first installment. Get ready for episode 3, the next installment, where we will focus on writing the vision.
If you have any questions or comments,
or just would like to share,
then email us at cwatson@chanelawatson.com or
prwilliams@chanelawatson.com.
Until next time, stay encouraged.